I saw you can start, yeah. I had an image as we were praying for your sister, Brian, and as we prayed for Elena, and just thinking about each of us and praying for Gregory and Isabel. And you know, you all know the story about Moses and the fighting. Was it Moses in the fighting? Holding up the arms?
Yes.
I was like a little mental block for a second. But his arms were being held up. And as long as his arms were being held up, Israel was being victorious. They were ahead in the fight. And as his arms began to fall, they would begin to lose. So there were those who came to him to hold his arms up. And I had this image. We've probably all seen the movie Rocky. If we haven't, surely we've seen, because it's such a part of pop culture, the statue of Sylvester Stallone as Rocky on top of those stairs in victory, and his hands being held up. And I just had that image of us being that way. And, you know, not knowing what some people might look like, hearing that, just seeing, all right, here we are holding their arms up as they battle. And I know that Elena has battled, and she has fought valiantly and continues to fight valiantly. And we just hold her arms up like that in victory so that she can keep on fighting as long as possible. And I am just so impressed by her in her life, seeing the powerlifting that she's done, you know, going and doing things that people said she couldn't do. You know, people that she knows, some of her friends, it's like, you can't do that. There's no way. You shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be going to the gym and doing that kind of workout. Or going to work at the shipyard. You know, the training, the stuff that's involved. And she continues to betray the doubters. What's the word I'm looking for? Where she just silences the doubters. Because she continues to fight. So we lift up one another's hands, okay, as we continue this fight. So I'm lifting up your hands, you know, lifting them up as you know, those days where you may feel dejected or like, I'm just done. Let me go back to the corner, talk to the coach and say, hey, will you just take that towel? Don't wipe me down. Just throw it in. I give up, you know, and know that the Lord fights for us. So anyway, continuing on a little bit from last week, I was impressed by the Jesus being led out by the Spirit to be tempted of the devil, because he doesn't have a sin nature like we do. We're able to find sin by ourselves because we have that characteristic or that part of our being where we have a sin nature that finds sin. And how Satan, how the tempter was able to use God's word and attempt to twist it to Jesus in the temptation. And one of the things that Don had in his notes from last week on our little orange slice was supremacy. God's word nails it. God's word is supreme in all things. And I've given three titles to today's message. And the first one is Same Old Song and Dance. And that has to do with Satan's, his plan, his agenda, his modus operandi, he has no contingency plan. This is just how he operates. It's been the same old song and dance since the garden. It's to approach us, and it's to say God's word, but to take it out of context and to make it into a lie. Okay? Now, God's word is truth. It can't be made into a lie. So he's got to, like, go in there and doctor it up. And what does it say? If we come and if anyone changes one jot or tittle of the word of God, they're to be accursed. So we know right where he is. The second title is, if it works, why break it? Satan's tactic works. It has worked since the dawn of time. It has worked since the garden. The temptations, the way that he works, billions have gone to hell. Billions have turned their heart on God. Against God. Yeah. They've walked away. They believed the lie of the enemy. So if it works, why break it? Why should he change that plan, that modus operandi? Why should he change it? And then the third title, which is the one that I like the best, is Father of Lies versus Father of Lights. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says that Satan is the father of lies. And if you have a Bible, if you have a device, or if you're taking any kind of notes, John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, Jesus is being confronted by the Pharisees, and he's giving this long message. There's a lot of red in chapter 8, 7, 8, 9, all that. It's a lot of red, if I remember correctly.
Oh, yeah.
And in this one section, John chapter 8, verse 42, he says to the Pharisees, Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and have come from God. For I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you are not of God." To hear that from the Lion of the tribe of Judah, for them to hear that from the Messiah. And remember, there were those Pharisees who did believe that Jesus was indeed Messiah. They were convicted. Namely, Josephus, Nicodemus, mm-hmm. was convicted and believed that Jesus was indeed the Messiah, that he was there to fulfill the word. But as he confronts them, he says that they are of their father, the devil. They're not following the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. They're not following him. They don't believe his word. They act like they do. Remember, later on, Jesus calls them whitewashed tombs. That they clean the inside, or the outside, but the inside isn't clean. It's like a tomb. At the outside of the tomb, it's beautiful marble with the little streaks going through it, and it's all shiny, glossy, and pretty. But inside, it has dead bones lying there. And that's what he said the Pharisees were like. But there were those who believed and came to him. He says that you are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. God, our father, has desires, and we should want to do those. Satan has desires as well. And those desires line up with the desires of our sinful nature. It's a death to self that we're supposed to do. We take up our cross daily, die to self, and follow him. He was a murderer. Speaking again of Satan, he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Mm-hmm. He speaks no truth. So even as Don was talking last week about the lies of the enemy, things that we say of ourselves, things that we've heard, things that maybe our own fathers may have said, or people who we looked up to, people who we saw that may have been important in our lives, people that Elena has heard who have said, "You can't do that. Why should you try to do that? There's no way you're going to succeed in that because of your disease. You can't move forward. You won't be successful." Why should she believe those things? Those are lies. Mm-hmm. Those are flat out lies.
Yes.
Because we see that the outcome.
The evidence.
We see the evidence that those things were indeed lies. So he's been a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. He speaks from his own nature. Whenever he speaks a lie. He speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And that should be capitalized and underlined and bold. He is a liar and the father of lies, which means any lie is like his child. He holds it dear and near and dear to his heart. He just loves those lies. You know, there's never going to be any peace in your family. There's never going to be any success, it's always going to be the same. There's never going to be a victory. You're never going to get through this. You're not good enough. You're, God doesn't care. God's not for you. God is against you because of this, 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 and this. You have always failed. No, those are lies. Those are damned lies. Totally. Total lies. Because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie. He speaks from his own nature because he is a liar and the father of lies. And he's been doing this from the very beginning. So we're going to go to Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, this is when Adam and Eve were in the garden, and they were just, you know, kind of hanging out in the cool of the day, right? It was probably just the perfect temperature, the perfect humidity, the perfect breeze, just the always the perfect day in that garden. The aromas, there were no allergies. You know, I can't imagine that either one of them had allergies. They could just enjoy all the flowers and all the fruit and all the trees and every plant, all the animals, everything that was there just had to be magnificent that they didn't. But this one particular day, Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, he went to the woman first, okay? Adam was born first, but he went to the lady. Doesn't speak ill of women. It's not anything like that. He just went to her. Because this is an attack on Adam. This is an attack on the priesthood of Adam. And it's going to show how he is the one who fell. It wasn't Eve. Adam was the one who was responsible to be the protector, to be the one who was made first. He said, so we'll get into that. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, as God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. The woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. Now remember, he never said, if you touch it, you'll die. He just said, you can't eat from it. So she added to the word right there. At that point, Adam should have interjected. As the priest in the home, as the head of the household, he should have interjected and said, oh, no, that's not what he said. Remember? And there probably would have been a big argument that ensued, and she would have said, oh, no, that is what he said. No, that's not what he said. Let's remember. Let's go back to that day, because he told me, and then I said it to you. Maybe he did tell her, don't touch it. Just stay away from it. Don't touch it. You'll get shocked. Something bad will happen. But God didn't say that in any event. The serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die. I thought her name was Eve. Why does he keep saying surely? Sorry. Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? It's like, he's just saying, oh, God didn't say you can't eat from any tree. You can eat from anything you want. Just do what you want to do. From the fruit, the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it or you will die. The serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die, for God knows that in the day that you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now here's a temptation, similar to the one that the serpent did with Jesus, where if you bow down to me, all of the kingdoms of the earth will be yours. All of this can be yours if the price is right. Choose door number one, door number two, door number three. They chose door number three and got zoinked. If you go back to the let's make a deal, you know, they got the donkey and the hay and whatever else it was that was the zoink, if you remember those old game shows. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. That was a flat out lie. And it's the same thing. Once again, it's the same thing as Jesus being told by the devil. If you bow down to me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the earth. If you bow down to me, you'll be like God. And Jesus is like, no, I'm already God. I'm not going to do this. Worship the Lord your God and him only. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise. Remember desires. Remember that word desirable. She took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and they made themselves loin coverings. And I heard teaching that people think that it was some kind of a fig tree that they actually ate from, and that's why they took the fig leaves. Don't know. Don't know. But God is, Israel is, it's always like dates. There's the from the date palm. That's a major fruit in the Bible. And, I mean, figs are delicious. They really are. Give me a Newton any day. Anyway, they realized that they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together. Then the Lord God called to them, to the man, and said, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." She was honest. Mm-hmm. Adam was not being honest. He was trying to CYA. He was just trying to cover his own butt and protect himself and say, well, it was the woman. Because he neglected his duty as the priest, as the head of the house. The woman fessed up and said, "The serpent deceived me." She saw that fruit was desirable. She had a desire for it. The father of lies. Remember that word desire from John. Where's it at? Going back up here. You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. Remember, Satan desires that we follow him, that we reject God, reject his word, and continue on that path of being really blind. Not physically, but spiritually really blind with those scales. The serpent deceived me and I ate. Now, he's the father of lies, and our God is the father of truth, but as we sang today, he's the father of lights. And what does light do? This is elementary. When we turn on a light, darkness goes away.
Yeah.
We are the father of lights. Jesus said that he was the light of the world, and later on he says, you are the light of the world. And we've talked about this before. I should have done an object lesson and brought in a bunch of lights. You know, the little Christmas lights, the LED lights, the big, you know, we've all seen different types of light. Lamps, different kinds of bulbs. There's many different kinds, from fluorescent, incandescent, LED, whatever. And they all serve a particular purpose. Some are for decoration. Some are just to light up the room so that we can see when it's dark outside. Some help us when we're working on a car. You know, some are for signals so that we don't run into someone else on the road. They're so that we can see someone else ahead of us is stopping, so that we can possibly not see a deer who's about to hit us. Because we don't hit deer, they hit us. I just want you to know that. We do not hit deer, they hit us. We have the right of way. Just like the silly goose. Yeah. So in James chapter 1, and this, I'm going to tell you, this is one of my all-time favorite chapters, because to me, James chapter 1 is the gospel in just so many verses. It's how we are to live our life just in one chapter. The end of that talks about the kind of religion that God accepts as pure and right and true as being taking care of widows and orphans, and keeping oneself unstained from the world. So we're to take care of each other, to love one another, everybody. And we're not to take part in the things of the world. And that whole chapter is about that. In James chapter 1, verses 12 through 18, it says, "Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil. And he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures." Adam was the first man. He was the first. Jesus was the first fruits, the first one to be born again, to be made alive, to walk out of the tomb, to be victorious over death. He was the first fruits of the Passover. Each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust, his own desires. And I just thought, blessed is a man. Blessed is someone who perseveres under trial. You know, people who continue to fight, people who continue to battle against their demons, against their own flesh, against the trials and the tribulations of everyday life, whatever it may be. And again, we just continue to hold one another's arms up. And think back, I've taught about this before, about bearing one another's burdens. You know, we should bear one another's burdens, but each one should carry his own load. We all have a load to bear. You know, there's the day of the, you know, the hygiene, the, you know, getting up, the eating, the dressing ourselves, the going out to work and all that. That's a load that we bear every single day. Just who we are, part of life. The other part are burdens. Bear one another's burdens. Each one must carry his own load. So when you have a burden, that makes it difficult for you to take care of the load, the responsibilities that you have every single day. So if I can't take care of my own load because of the burdens, you have demonstrated to me, you have come to my assistance by helping to bear the burden. And by the same token, I hope that we've been able to come to you to help bear a burden. So we bear each other's burdens. We carry, you know, whether it be actually coming to your home and helping move or clean or bring food during, you know, a time of bereavement or post-surgery or post-birth, whatever it might be, we try to bear one another's burdens to make your load easier to handle. Anyway, each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own desire. When desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, like Adam and Eve were. Deception, it's like sleight of hand. You know, you've all seen magicians work. You know, maybe you've been able to be at a live show. Tammy and I got to see several magicians when we lived in Las Vegas. And probably the most fun was going to see Siegfried and Roy, just because of the big white cats. You know, the animals that were there. But it was just astounding, you know, to see the sleight of hand, the illusion, the things done with mirrors. And, you know, there were some things that you knew, okay, that's how they did that. But there were others that you just went, wow, how did they make the elephant go away? Mm-hmm. You know, how did they make that tiger disappear? I don't get it. And again, there's some things that you could see, but deception, you know, when we're kids, that kind of deception can be fun. But the other one, when Satan comes along and deceives us, and I'm thinking back to a couple weeks ago, maybe, Brian, when you shared about the house, the renovation, and then the other, you know, where the one was ordained by God, and everything just fell into place, and everything was there, the people were there, the workers were there, the finances were just taken care of, and then you wanted to do the kitchen, and it was like, okay, we're going to go ahead and do this, and it was just so difficult. It was like every just brick wall, every obstacle in the way that you shared, and that's us in a nutshell, where we have this desire. If we do the desires of our Father, it works out like the first case. When we follow our own desires, it works like the second one. And Tammy and I, when we first got married, over the years, it was, here we go around the mountain again. Mm-hmm. Just like the children of Israel, wandering through the desert. Wandering through the desert. I heard a joke this weekend about the GPS was invented by a Jewish group, by Israel. And they're like, that's very ironic, since they wandered around in the desert for 40 years. They couldn't find their way. So it's nice that they were able in that way to kind of redeem themselves, that they made GPS to help us get lost, because it always sends us in the wrong direction. Anyway, I get angry with her when she tells me where to turn. So I've just got a few verses to go through about light and how it drives away darkness. Remembering that we are the light of the world. When we go about our day, the more that we spend time in the Bible, the more time that we spend reading the Word and grasping it in context, in the meaning that hopefully we can understand, in the meaning that it was intended, the more that we can fight those desires, those temptations, and follow after the truth and be light to those people we come into contact with on our jobs and everyday life. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3 through 5 says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness." That's the first thing that he did, the light. And I believe because he spoke everything into existence, and the light came, that's the truth. Jesus is the light of the world. He is the truth. We follow him. We follow the truth. Light makes darkness flee. Light drives away darkness. Isaiah 9, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." What happens when you're, well, at least for me it happens, when I'm driving at night and I see lights come over a hill, I'm drawn to that.
Yeah.
I'm drawn to that light. If you're driving, for me especially, if I'm driving at night and I see an accident or a police stop up ahead and I see those flashing lights, I'm immediately drawn to them. And I'm reminding of a time Tam and I were leading worship at a church, and several people in the room, and there was a friend of ours who had gone to see a faith healer. And he suffered from epilepsy. And when he went to the faith healer, the man told him, "You're healed." So he stopped taking his medication. And he began to have a seizure. And it was just before we started. And so people gathered around him to pray. They called 911 for him. And before we started worship, you know, the pastor was like, "Well, we'll just go ahead and start. We'll just go ahead and begin. And we'll pray for Mike, and we'll move on." And so the announcement was made that, you know, fairly soon, you know, we've got a brother over here, we all know him, and, you know, didn't go into the detail, but just, you know, he's having a seizure. And very soon the ambulance will come. Just want you to know if there's any commotion in the back, that's what's happening. And it was stupid for me to do it, but I got very upset when the ambulance arrived and the lights just kept on flashing. It was a nighttime service, so all the lights are dimmed except for the platform, and lights are the red lights and white lights and all that are just flashing through the building, through our blinds, through the windows. And I looked out, and here's 300 heads all turned toward the back of the room to see what's going on. And I stopped, you know, we got done, and I stopped, and I unplugged my guitar, and I threw the cable down. I said, what is wrong with you people? What is wrong with you? Here we are to worship the living and true God, to offer up thanks and praise to him. And we have a brother over here in the corner. By that time, they were gone. We have a brother over in the corner who's going through a medical situation, someone who needs prayer. And instead of us either getting on our knees to pray for him or offering up prayers, raising our hands to pray for him, we're like a bunch of deer and gawking over at our brother who's going through a painful situation right now. And I took my guitar and I put it down and walked off the platform. And one of the guys, Rob, who always sat in the front row with another friend that I mentioned a couple weeks ago who gave up the fight. Anyway, Rob, he turned around and he said, well, what are you waiting for? Turn around and greet your neighbor. Because that's always how we ended the worship time after prayer. It's like, all right, everybody turn around, greet your neighbor, say hello. And anyway... We see, you know, we're walking in darkness, we see a great light, we're drawn to it. And Jesus Christ, again, being the light of the world, hopefully we're drawn to that light. He draws us to him. Isaiah 42, I will lead the blind by ways they have not known, along unfamiliar paths. I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. John 1:5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That is amazing. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And it never will.
Amen.
The word of truth is light. Remember, your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. That's God's word. It's truth. It lights our way. It lights our life. John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. This is the verdict. That word means the true word. You know, we hear verily. That sometimes it's in the word of God, it's translated verily. It means truly. It's the truth. And dictum comes from the word, like diction, dictionary, the word. This is the verdict, the true word. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Light has come into the world. A lot of people reject it. You know, there's a lot of nuns in the United States today. A lot of nuns. And I'm not talking Roman Catholic nuns. Not talking about those who wear the habit. Talking about the people when they fill out a survey, fill out some kind of a form, and they're asked what their religion might be or their denomination, and they say none.
Oh.
They don't go to church. They don't worship. They're nuns. And that number is increasing in the United States. And it's increasing around the world. Well, it had been. If you think about a place, Paul wrote a letter to the Galatians, who were actually transplanted from the nation or the area known as Gaul, which is now France. And in France, there was a great revival many, many centuries ago. A lot of good things happened there. And then of late, churches are being attacked. They're being desecrated. There's a lot of stuff going on there that hasn't been good for the Christian faith. a couple more verses. John 8:12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." John 9:5-7. "While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. Jesus, being the light of the world, gave sight to the blind. He allowed the man to see the great light. Because the blind see nothing. It's like walking in darkness. But the great light comes and we're able to see everything. I shouldn't have hit that. Okay, Romans 13:12. "The night is nearly over. The day is almost here, so let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light." Think of that light bulb, the glass, the outer shell. That's us. The light is inside. It emanates from within us. And it should be like an armor where it can't be approached. Like when the light shines, you ever touch a bulb? They're hot. Remember the old Easy Bake Oven? Remember how that worked? Yeah, it worked. It baked the cake using a light bulb. I don't know how well they came out, but that's how they tried to bake the cake, was with the heat from a light bulb. And but the night is nearly over. That means that here we are in the end times. We're on the last day. The night means there's a lot of darkness in the world, but we're the light. And the light drives out darkness. The day is almost here. The day refers to the return of Jesus Christ. Yes. The day is approaching. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. It's up to us to stop doing what we're not supposed to do. Ephesians 5, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light." That's an admonition. How do we live? Live as children of light. You know, it's been this exercise of looking for, was it grace in the day? You know, the points where things were good and not so good. The things where we succeeded and didn't quite succeed before we go to bed. And been trying to be better during the day. In the last one, 1 John 1:5, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all." Right. Satan is the father of lies. God is the father of light and truth.
If I may, just before you sum up.
For your physics.
As you're talking about all of this, Satan is the father of lies, God is truth. I was thinking, and I don't remember the answer to this exactly, maybe somebody here can help me, but you know, there's that old puzzle about you're doing, test two people where one person always tells the truth and the other one always tells lies. What's the question you can ask them in order to find out which is which? I don't remember what the question is exactly. Yeah. But what occurred to me is we have the Bible, and that's God's Word. And so one way we can tell whether it's the devil talking to us or not is we just ask, does it line up with the Word?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because the Word is truth, and that's God.
Exactly.
And the devil, you know, we want to do something, and we look in there, and it says, that's sin. Well, yeah. Then we know who's telling us. And he will say, oh, but that's not true.
Yeah.
That's not, no way.
Does God really say?
And you see it happen a lot when people will misquote, because rather than like the book of Job, you really have to pay attention who's talking.
Mm-hmm.
Is it God? Is it Job? Or is it one of his three friends? Mm-hmm. Who's talking? Which one of them is actually speaking truth? Well, if it says the Lord said, then you know it's true. The other stuff you have to test, right?
Mm-hmm.
And know. And then there's different kings and priests that spoke that were they speaking God's word, or were they, you know, if it says and God said, or the Lord said, or Jesus said, you know it's the 100% truth. The rest of it, we've got to make sure it's context. And Brian, I thought of this too when you said truth. We worship God in spirit and truth. Now, it's easy to worship God in the spirit, you know, because the spiritual things, we could get either happy, clappy, or we could bow down and put our face on the ground, or we could be all weepy, or we could laugh, or we could look for gold dust, or we could do, you know, all sorts of different things to worship God spiritually. But remember, there's the letter of the law, there's the truth. And we have to make sure it lines up to the truth. But the letter of the law brings death, and the spirit brings life. So the two of those, we don't want to be so spiritual that we're not following the truth, and we don't want to be so truthful that we're not letting people be spiritual. Bring the two together. You know, like in churches where people aren't allowed to dance, or they have no instruments, or things like that. So anyway, yeah, we'll sum up with prayer, unless anyone has anything else. All right, we'll pray. Father, we thank you that you are the light of the world. And very often in our lives, we look around and things have become dark, they've become dim, and we maybe see no way out. It's like we're in some kind of a dark cavern. We've been lost in a cave, and we can't see. We cannot make our way out. And it's said that if you're in a cave in total darkness for too long, you will go blind. And when you come, because when you come out of the cave, out of the darkness, you see the light, and it attacks greatly. Your light is powerful. As we are in this darkness, if we're in a dark cave and we can't seem to find our way, would you come alongside? Speak your word of truth to us, that it might indeed be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Could we see that light, that cliche, seeing that light at the end of the tunnel? The people living in darkness, the people in Israel saw a great light, and many of them were drawn toward it. Could we be those who are being drawn toward your light? And then we, as your living lights, you are the Father of lights, and as you've called us to be the light of the world, many different shapes and sizes and colors and purposes, that we would follow your desires and not our own, to be a real light to those people in our lives round about us. Help us to continue the fight, Lord. Help us to lift one another up, to raise one another's hands, and to just keep moving forward. It is the night, and the day approaches. Yes. Yes. Help us seek to be a people who don't follow our own desires, but seek out yours. And we continue to pray for one another, for husbands and wives, relationship, for what goes on the battle daily, that there would be a place where we read that where the road is made smooth, where things are brought to balance, in that verse that we read. We pray for mothers, for healing. Mm-hmm. We pray for daughters. We pray for sisters. Mm-hmm. Just these women that we lift up to you today, many of whom are moms. We just thank you, Lord. We pray that you bring healing to each of them in your way, in your time, in your manner. Let there be life. Let there be light. In their hearts and their lives. In your name, amen.
Hello.
Amen. So.
Yeah.